Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you all tuning in today. I do have a guest across the way. It is State Senator Kyle McCarter. He is a state senator from Lebanon.
That's correct.
And he is, how long have you been in the General Assembly?
Just over 6 years.
Did you start out as a rep, I guess?
No, I was actually appointed to replace Senator Frank Watson when he became ill.
Uh-huh.
Right? He came back, voted for the impeachment of Blagojevich.
Yeah.
And then stepped down the day after.
Is that right?
That's right. And then I was one of 12 people that put my name in the hat to be appointed, and that was the Republican chairman of the different counties had a weighted
sure.
vote. And nobody knew me.
I'm thinking that that's probably a good thing.
No,
having just met you, I'm not saying that. Yeah, now that I know you, I don't want to know you, but anonymity is pretty good.
Oh no, I literally crawled out of a piece of machinery in my factory. We just bought a small company and moved everything in, and I was fixing one of the machines, and I crawled out. I was in it.
Yeah,
and I crawled out of it, and I went into my vice president, and I said, Joe. I said, you know, Senator Watson's stepping down. I'd like to throw my name in the hat. What do you think? He said, you do it. I'll take care of the business. And so I filled out the application and showed up the next Saturday and sat in front of those guys, and it was just amazing. Every question they asked me was something I had experienced in life.
No kidding.
And it was so easy to answer. And it was
so with no preparation, basically.
Very little. I mean, it was a detailed application.
Well, sure.
But I had a copy of it, but I set it aside and just sat down and talked with them, and they picked me. And in fact, the ironic thing was the party was sitting there. The party, one of the leaders in the party, was texting saying, "We've got to stop this. Kyle, the McCarter may get this." they didn't even know me. And so
he just had his mind on somebody else.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way parties work.
Yeah.
They try to pick the nominee. So, they picked me and announced it to the press, and then sat down in Senator Watson's old office, and they said, "You know, we don't even know who you are." And I said, "Well, what you see?
Did they do a judicio on you?"
They didn't even look. Yeah. In fact, they ran it. You know, quick Google check. And that's about all they got. It was a good thing, and it was a real opportunity. I was on the county board for 8 years before that,
uh-huh.
And so I knew a little bit about local politics, but I never dabbled in state politics, and so and never had aspirations to be senator.
Really,
growing up, never. I mean, my we didn't talk about politics much growing up. My dad's retired lieutenant colonel chaplain in the Air Force,
uh-huh.
And minister. And it's not that we didn't talk about it; it just wasn't, you know, wasn't a priority. So, but what he did teach me, and that was that to hate injustice.
Yeah.
And that's how I got involved. I got involved in St. Clair County. I mean,
oh wow,
that's
you see plenty of injustice.
Oh
here.
My gosh,
I would presume that there's a ton of it.
Well, and I saw it firsthand, and so that's what got me involved. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to sit around and watch this.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So that's how I started.
Let me tell folks a little bit more about Senator Kyle McCarter. He is, like I said, he's now you're running for Congress.
You're running for
John Shimkus' seat. John Shimkus has owned that seat for, oh gosh, how long now?
Almost 20 years.
I remember when he was elected. See, now that's... I've read about you, and you are right. He said he was going to step down for a while, didn't he?
He said he was for term limits, and he'd hold to it.
Not yet so far, huh?
Nope. No, he's if you meant terms in maybe in decades, maybe that was or maybe you know the other thing is maybe this is Common Core math.
It could be.
You know, if you say you're going to be there for three terms times two is six,
well,
and
now
then it
maybe,
ends up
maybe,
20.
Maybe he wasn't sure how long the terms were.
Well,
maybe
yeah.
he was thinking
maybe it
Senate
was two terms
as opposed to Senate terms as opposed
or
to.
Or two new creative terms at 10. I don't know. Like I said, maybe this is Common Core math and we just don't know.
I like it.
We don't understand at all.
It's certainly a possibility.
Yeah.
It's certainly a possibility. Senator McCarter. Can I call you Kyle?
Or what would you prefer?
Just call me your lordship. I got a lordship while I was over there in England.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. You only have to call me your lordship one time, and then after that, it's Bruce.
All right, right, lordship. After that is Bruce. All right.
Well, okay, so you're basically... This is all new territory to you, because what
it is.
Around the you're the 54th district senator now, right?
Yes, that's correct, and it goes from the Metro East, pretty much up to Effingham, and seven counties
along Route 70 or something, or
70, and then 64 on the south, and then Highway 50 going right through the middle. So,
how big is the 15th district in comparison to the 15th congressional district?
It's about in population three times.
Yeah,
three times. But so about about a third of this is area that people that I have represented already.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes the 15th goes all the way up to Danville.
To Champaign, doesn't it?
Yes, it goes around Champaign-Urbana, goes to Ford County,
mm-hmm.
and then takes in Danville, and then goes all the way south to Metropolis.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then comes back back up to Effingham and back over to the Metro East again.
Mainly on the east side, though, because then west side, is it Costello over there?
Or? That's correct.
Okay.
Well, what used to be Costello now is Mike Bost.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
the
12th.
12th district.
That's right, the 12th district. Okay, so...
but it's big, 33 counties.
Have you been, I guess you're introducing yourself to all kinds of new people, aren't you?
I am, but I'm really enjoying it.
What are you finding? What do you find?
Well,
does anybody know who you are? I must tell you, and I must admit, until Abby called me the other day, I didn't realize that I knew somebody was running. I did know that.
Right.
I knew somebody was running against John Shimkus because whenever I heard it, I thought, wow, that's the first time anybody's done that.
That's right.
Is it the first time anybody has done it in a long time?
This is the first time people have had a choice.
Yeah.
And you know, what was interesting to me was when I started, you know, talking about it, I had some big time name politicians say, Kyle, you know, you just got to wait. You got to wait your turn. And I said, you know, guys, how long do you want me to wait? Another decade?
Yeah.
I mean, so you can appoint me, anoint me, whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to wait. I mean, this is the people's choice.
Yeah.
And the people finally have a choice as to who's going to be the nominee and who's going to represent them. And I'm just, you know, I believe in term limits. Most politicians say they're for term limits.
Yeah.
And they should because they do that because 75% of the people like term limits.
Sure.
So
I want to
be on 75% of the people's side. That's a great thing, isn't it?
Wouldn't that help you get elected?
Oh, yeah. So you know, and in this case, our representative said, he said, elect me and I'll only stay three terms, four terms, five terms, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But at the least, you know, at the most, it was 10 years.
Yeah.
Now here we are 20 years later. And the people still haven't had a choice. So, you know, I'm term limiting myself in the Senate. I'm up in 2018. I will not run again.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, why? Well, because I've got a legitimate way of making a living.
Sure, you're already a businessman.
I'm in the manufacturing business, and I love doing it. But I'm stepping aside for a certain time, which is a way I think the founding fathers meant it to be, is to step aside, serve, and then get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm term limiting myself and keeping my word up front.
We'll talk a little bit more about how you've found Springfield and your issues up in Springfield, as well as what you see for the federal government. Tell me a little bit more about Kyle McCarter, the man, your family, and the business.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I'm married to married. Oh God, now I got to count the years now.
I know her name's Victoria.
It's Victoria. That's a joke for later. But but Victoria, she's awesome. I met her down in Tulsa, where my father had retired, and she's from Collinsville.
Okay,
ironically, the home of our current representative.
Sure.
And so I came back up here and made Illinois my home. I was all over the growing up, all in different schools from one base to another in the Air Force. And
did you serve yourself?
I didn't. I didn't. You know, in 1980, there wasn't going to be any more wars.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's
so, right. But I'll tell you what, if I was graduating today, I'd be right in the middle of it.
Sure.
My son is now, I've got a boy that's 27. He's a captain in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
went to the Air Force Academy, and he's married, lives down in San Antonio. And then I got another boy, he's 24. He's works down in Dallas, married as well. And I got a daughter who would be 30, and we lost her. Unfortunately, we lost her about 9 years ago.
Oh, no.
In a tragic accident. So, but I always bring Amber up because I don't have two kids. I had three kids.
Yeah.
And so I'm very fortunate. Started my business 17 years ago. And
what's the business?
It's called Custom Product Innovations. We're a custom manufacturing company. We actually make parts of the fitness equipment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, have anybody heard of CrossFit?
Sure.
Well, we make a product for CrossFit. It's called the AdMap.
Are you making the great big heavy balls that people throw at each
other? We are making those too. Yes. We are making those, and we make them out of ballistic nylon.
No kidding.
Yeah, we do a lot of component, you know, parts that they use in CrossFit gyms across around the world. And
then making the steps too. Those are cruel.
Yeah, the steps. Yeah,
we do
a lot of a lot of sewn parts and molded parts, plastic parts, and then I've got another company that sells to the power utility industry. We make the plastic covers that go on tops of the transformers to keep the birds and squirrels out.
Okay.
Yeah. And I tell people we do that because we care. And and they pay us $20 a piece
there
as well.
Go.
So I, you know, this is, it's a legitimate, I tell this
it
is
a
just
legitimate
a little
thing.
Way of making a living. We bring stuff in barrels and we ship it out in boxes.
Yeah.
And it's so an honest way to make a living.
Mainly you're retrofitting, you're taking plastic and just fitting it, then they're molding it.
We're actually molding it. Okay. As it's a liquid, and then we put it into a solid.
How many employees?
About 40 total. And so, like I said, we've been very fortunate. God's blessed us. I mean, I started with a $5,000 commission check and went and plugged a fax machine in the wall and in a leased warehouse. And, you know, it's history.
And off you go.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, I don't know if I want to save it for, I'll tell you what, I'll save it for later. I was going to ask you about your missions.
Yeah.
Because that sounds fascinating to me. And I was wondering how you got that started or why, what made you want to start it.
Yeah, I look forward to talking
there.
About it.
This is the Bruce Dickey Show. We're talking with Senator Kyle McCarter. And we'll be back here after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I have a guest this morning. It is State Senator Kyle McCarter. He is running for Congress. And before we're going to start talking about Congress, I want to know. So we go to get a budget. That must be the first question anybody ever asks you. What is the story? Are we going to get a budget?
Well, the surprising answer is we pretty much have a budget. We've spent 93% of what we have. We're contractually.
Don't we have another 6 months to go?
Well, I think this budget is going to run into the next budget.
Oh, I see.
I think you're going to see some way it's done together. I think the problem is you got to live within your means, and right now the politicians in charge don't want to live within their means.
Right.
They got $27 billion coming in, and they want to spend 32.
Yeah.
And if you take all the zeros off it, and let's just say it's a family making $27,000 a year, and they want to spend 32. You know what happens
with
them?
You get in trouble with credit cards.
Well, you wake up one morning, your car's gone.
Right.
And but with the state of Illinois, and you can't quite say that because even the state of Illinois woke up one day and the trucks at corrections were gone. And
what?
So,
that I didn't know. What
yeah, they were taken back.
Is that right? Repossessed from the state.
Yeah, that's so. So it can happen to the state.
Sure.
Maybe it just doesn't happen in the federal government. But we've got to live within our means, just like families do, just like small businesses do, just like churches do, other nonprofits. Nobody else gets away with that. And the problem is they keep pushing this off one year to another because they don't want the structural reforms that will fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You've got pensions that the taxpayers, God bless the pensioners.
Well, yeah.
But the taxpayers can't afford them.
There's a bill going to come due.
Right. Yeah. They can't afford them.
Yeah.
And you can't keep raising property taxes, and you can't keep saying, hey, we're going to raise your income tax and your sales tax and make this thing work. You cannot tax your way out of this thing. We tried it once. It was a failure. We raised the taxes, and it did nothing for us.
Right.
So the problem is those that are in control have an insatiable appetite for spending. And they like that because then the people they represent like the things that they bring home. And when those people are happy, they keep getting elected.
How much frustration is there for you? I'm thinking, is it
not enough to push me out?
I'm gonna say, is there so much frustration? Is there more? Let me ask it this way: is there more frustration now without a budget, or was it worse, you think, probably 2 years ago when you didn't even have the toehold of the governor on your side trying to get you a better deal? Was it more frustrating 2 years ago when, I mean, a blind man could see what's coming?
Yeah,
a blind man could see the spending is out
right.
outreaching, and you knew that you weren't going to reaffirm the tax. You weren't going to leave
right.
it at 5%. Is it more frustrating now, or is it more frustrating then?
It's the same problem as it was then. It's just we've gotten deeper into the hole, and I'm afraid that we've gone to the point that, a state cannot go bankrupt, but systems can.
Yeah.
And when your pension systems get to the point that they can't make the payments to the pensioners, you got a real problem. There's going to be a lot of people hurt.
Right.
And so, it's unfortunate we haven't stepped up early to say, listen, let's make a promise that we can keep. Let's make a promise that the taxpayers can afford, one that we can keep, and modify those pensions. And the problem is you've got unions that say, listen, the Constitution says you can't diminish the benefits. Well, you know what? If that's the case, and that's what's going to drive us into the, in bankruptcy, let's change the Constitution. Let's step up and do what's right to the people, not just to those, those employees of the state. I mean, this has got to be a win-win situation. So these structural reforms have to take place. I'm with the governor on this one. He's saying you've got to change these things that, one, attract people back to our state and make us competitive with Indiana
yeah.
on workers' comp
right.
and on our property taxes and all these things. You've got to change this atmosphere for businesses that people come back and they quit moving, because otherwise you're never going to have enough
money.
You
see, that's the troubling thing is you have all these businesses that are fleeing the state.
Right.
You have them heading to Wisconsin. You got to head to Indiana, Texas, wherever else. And I would think that over there in Metro East, you see some of that. Missouri has their problems, but their folks still going to Missouri too, right?
Oh, same thing. But I'll give you an example. You say workers' comp isn't a lot of folks in charge right now say, well, that's not a budget issue. No, it is a budget.
It is a budget.
Because you know who the largest has the largest claims for workers' comp in the state of Illinois.
I'm guessing it's state workers.
It's not John Deere. It's not Caterpillar. You know, it's not Sears, CME, or these big corporations. It's the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
And so it's a $300 million impact if we can just reform workers' comp. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is the trial lawyers and the doctors they've got on speed dial.
Yeah.
Kind of like this gig.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They like it.
Yeah.
It's a cottage industry. I mean,
sure.
it's working really well for them, but not for the taxpayers and not for the state as a whole. So we're going to have these are some big changes that have big politics on both sides of it. And so if we don't address that, that $5 billion deficit will become 7, become 10, and then you're going to have the failure of systems. You're going to have the failure of these pensions that is going to hurt a lot of people. So, I've been repeating it the whole time I've been in there about workers' comp. Most people didn't know what that was when I came.
Yeah.
And I know it because I've experienced it.
Well, I see. Now, that's the thing. I ran a business, too, for about 10, 15 years. And I've seen workman's comp and how much it costs per employee. And it's just, it needs reform.
Well, yeah. And all we're asking is that if the business was the cause of the workplace was the cause of the accident, they should pay. But if it wasn't, they shouldn't pay.
Right.
And right now, businesses pay no matter what. You know, there's a reason they call this workers' compensation and not playing softball to the wee hours of the morning drinking too much compensation. I mean, when guys do stupid stuff on the weekend and then they come in and they grab that shifter on the forklift and they say, oh my God,
my
rotator cuff. You know, well, I don't think that was the forklift or the cause of his employer necessarily.
Kyle, you are a business owner.
Yeah, because I paid him.
I've experienced the pain.
Nobody can talk about this better than me because I've experienced the pain of it. And that's why, we've got the same problems as we had 6 years when I came in.
Yeah.
Now, 3 years ago, I put out a budget. I actually published a budget that would have fixed this mess. And but you know what? They didn't heed it.
Right.
And interesting enough, everything that I projected 3 years ago in the budget is true today.
Really?
It's common sense.
Yeah.
You cannot spend more than you take in. And if you are behind, you have to spend less every year to catch up.
Sure.
And so, I guess this is one of the reasons I got involved in this. I got tired of being, abused in the business. When a guy comes in and says he tells everybody in the factory he's got a back problem, had back problems his whole life.
Yeah.
Comes into work for me for 3 weeks and says he falls off a second rung of a ladder and says, oh my God, I need back surgery. You know what? He conveniently found somebody to pay for his problem.
Right.
And now I pay in higher rates, on and on and on.
Tell me, look into your crystal ball. Give me a little handicapping down the road. What do you think? Do you think that the leadership will blink, or do you think Mr. Rauner will blink, or will they be able to come to the table and compromise and collaborate and get something done?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come. I think the governor's willing to come to the table. I think he's been very generous as far as the AFSCME contract. I think the fact that the Teamsters signed on to the same contract that he asked AFSCME to sign on to indicates that he's been very fair.
Right.
Now, I think they are at an impasse, as we just found out a couple days ago. AFSCME is not going to negotiate anymore, it doesn't look like. I think that's terribly unfortunate. So, the problem is I think the governor really is compassionate. He didn't want to just draw a line and say, I'm shutting the whole government down until you come to the table. He gave in to the K-12 education,
right,
and he actually funded them very well. And we actually increased them as he had promised that he would, because he cares about that. He may be wishing he could take that back.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure he
gave a little too much.
I'm not sure he understood how vindictive and indifferent the Speaker of the House is to the pains and the struggles of people in Illinois. I think he's more about himself, and I think him staying in charge is more important to him than anything. And I think perhaps the governor underestimated that.
Boy, he is a bulldog when it comes to.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
It's all about him. And it's about him controlling this state. You know, we've had these Democrat governors in the past that we thought they were in charge. They weren't in charge. Speaker of the House was in charge. Yeah. So, no, I it can be done, though. It can be done. But you're going to have to send a different people to Springfield to give control to.
Now, you were talking about changing the Constitution. The people can do that.
They've got the
ballot.
That's right.
You can either now, but didn't we have a wasn't there a ballot measure for a new constitutional convention recently that just went didn't go? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that wasn't. I don't think that's got enough support right now. But we had.
How can Joe Blow in Fairfield, Illinois, make a change then?
I think you've got to send different people. I think you've got to like the redistricting effort that's going on that's going to get on the ballot.
Yeah.
I think you have to do the same thing with that constitutional change in regards to benefits. Because we're handcuffed here. We can't do anything. Every time it goes to the courts are going to say, hey, listen, you can't change it.
Yeah.
But the truth is we have to change it.
Yeah.
And so the redistricting effort, I think that's a good example of the way we do it. It's unfortunate that the legislature wouldn't put that on there and get it on there immediately.
Right.
You have to spend all the millions of dollars and 450,000 signatures to actually get this, you know, allow the people. I mean, think about it. Spend millions of dollars, 450,000 signatures, just to allow the people to vote.
Just to let them have the ballot initiative.
To say yes or no.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't that be easy? It's not easy. And the politicians don't make it easy.
Talking with Kyle McCarter, this is the Bruce Dickey Show. He's a state senator from Lebanon. He's running for Congress. We're going to talk a little bit more about his thoughts on the federal government and also his mission work in Africa. That's just fascinating to me. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined by State Senator Kyle McCarter of Lebanon, and he is running for Congress. He's running for John Shimkus' seat in the primary. And has anybody come out on the Democratic side yet of that?
Have not heard anybody.
I didn't know if anybody. This is a
very conservative district. It's primarily a Republican Republican district.
Well, I was looking at the just for instance, whenever Bruce Rauner was elected, I was looking at the numbers in the counties, and it's a pretty like this was an 85% county. I think we were like the top one, and Edwards County next to us was like 83% or something, and it just
I think district wide is over 70.
Is that right?
Yeah, what the governor won.
I'm not really surprised at all. So mainly, you got to win the Republican primary if you're going to win.
This is a race. March 15th, this is a race.
Well, I tell you what we've talked a little bit about what made you begin to want to get into it. You think the Mr. Shimkus has become a little bit too entrenched, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think, our representative he's a good man. I believe he's a good father. I believe he's a good husband. But he's become part of the problem in Washington.
Yeah.
And,
what changes could you make?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you say, well, what would you go and do? And I thought about that a lot. Yeah. You know, just deciding to run, deciding that say, can I win this thing? Yeah, I can win this thing. Do I want to do it? Do I have the energy for it? Do I have the ideas? Have I got a track record as a reformer in the state? Yes. I'll continue to do that. But what could I actually bring home that changes people's lives?
Right.
You know? And so I really contemplated that. I prayed about it all summer long while I was in Africa. And said, you know, what can I do? And I thought about it. My son, captain in the Air Force, my brother, colonel in the Army, my dad, a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, chaplain. With all that's gone on with the VA,
mm-hmm.
all the corruption,
yeah,
all the waste, fraud, and abuse, I would have thought, I think we all would have thought, that someone that came as a West Point grad would have been, that would have been the number one thing that they would have been
kind of keeping an eye on that.
Just thinking, God, you know, I gotta protect these people. We gotta, yeah. You know, our veterans deserve the best.
Yeah.
And you say, well, you got to live within your means. Yeah, get rid of the race, fraud, and abuse. Do right. a forensic audit on the VA. It shouldn't take you $2.9 million to demolish three small buildings. Now, these are real.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, in our district. It shouldn't take you $5 million to build a home for veterans where only 10 people are living there. You know, that's $500 a square foot.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And so you say, well, what can you do? You can address that front, you know,
first
directly.
Sure.
And say, let's help more. Let's give veterans a gold card. Let's give them the same card the Congress gives them and say, listen, you don't have to wait 3 weeks to go 3 hours to a VA hospital. You can go to the hospital in your area and say, I'm a veteran. I got a gold card. And they say, and a liaison meets you there and says, we're taking you to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Because you went to the front lines to defend us.
Sure.
I mean, and you said, well, there's enough money for that? Sure there is. Get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse. I've got an accounting degree. I love spreadsheets. I think a forensic audit is due for the state government as well as the federal government, meaning that it's not, you don't just find things bad and say, hey, that's, you know, don't ever do that again. You find things and say, give the money back.
Yeah.
And if you don't give the money back, you're going to jail. See, that's an audit with teeth.
Absolutely.
And so being an accountant, understanding these things.
CPA?
I didn't. You know what? I never sat because I really didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
I wanted to create businesses,
sure. Right.
And that's what I've done. But I just, you know, I believe we can do that. I believe there's enough people motivated to say, I'm going to do what's right for veterans. And you say, well, why then would our representative Long, after he said he for 20 years, he has the now has the ability to be chairman of the Energy Committee. Well, that's great. You want to put me on the Energy Committee? Fine. But why would you desire to do that more than the veterans? You know why? Because those companies give a lot of money to your campaign fund. And that's the way you accumulate $2 million in your campaign fund.
Yeah.
But what are veterans going to do? They can't pay you. They can't pay you. They can't build up your campaign fund like that. You know what? I'll do it for free. I'll serve them for free.
Wow.
They don't have to give big into my campaign fund and to keep me alive and keep me elected. That's not, I mean, you know what? This whole way people get elected has got to change. We got to have people that are known for doing the right thing to where you don't have to pay millions of dollars in TV ads and radio ads. And although I'm sure you would like those radio ads.
I love the radio ads.
I'm changing my policy as at least for the next 20 minutes.
That's exactly right.
but you know, you shouldn't have to dump millions of dollars in it just to get people to believe you're something that you're not.
Sure.
No, be known for what you are. And those people will come and still keep you in office for a long time.
How has your candidacy been met by the party structure?
Party structure. Let me tell you, when I stood up to announce that I was running,
I'm guessing not real well.
If you would have looked behind me, you would have seen. Let's see, beside me, you would have seen my wife, and behind me, you would have seen my banner. But there were no politicians standing with
right?
me.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, they said, "Kyle, just wait." And I said, "What, another decade?" You know, they want to be able to control you. I'm not going to be controlled. I haven't been able to be controlled in the Senate. I'm not going to be controlled in Congress. My objective is going to be to deliver something of value back to the people.
Yeah.
And if we can get the VA under control, that's a huge thing.
Well, that's a huge first thing. I mean,
that's a huge thing, and it takes time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But you know what? You got to be a cheerleader. You got to be the guy that's known for defending them. The guy that's not willing to step up and say, "Listen, we're going to do an audit on you." And you know, I care more about saving money for the taxpayers than I do offending you.
Sure.
And so, the establishment has not been behind me, and that's okay, because the people have said to me, and I introduced myself to people just in a little breakfast place this morning.
Barbed wire grill.
Yes, we ran through there, but you know, I said, I'm running against a guy who's been there 20 years. They said, "Gal, you do it. You go." I said, "Well, I didn't tell you about myself yet." He said, "No, you go. We need new blood."
Yeah, that's true.
We need somebody. 20 years is enough. So that's the response from the people. And then when we get into the things that our representative has done by voting for illegals, voting to fund Planned Parenthood, voting to increase the debt limit, as we've struggled here to live within our means and make a living, you know, while he's gone – you can't do that. You can't say one thing in the district and then go up to Washington, D.C. and do something totally different. And so now it's time. People have a choice. 20 years is enough.
Yeah.
I'm willing to step up and fight.
Tell me a little bit before we get off the air. We got like 4 or 5 minutes here left. Your favorite project and the fascinating one to me. Tell me about Africa.
Well, each one feed one, .org. You can go and
give
see
that again.
Each one feed one,
.org
was an organization started back in 1972 by my father as he got out of Vietnam. He was really changed by Vietnam, in some good ways and some bad ways.
Sure.
He started this organization, and right out of college, my wife and I moved to Kenya, East Africa, where we had a 4-acre plot of land where there had been a cholera epidemic, and we built a medical clinic there. And I slept outside under a tree for a year until we got the building up. And my folks came back after that. I came back, got in business. My folks came back, started a school there. We have 250 kids in our school, K-12. And then My parents retired 5 years ago, and we took it back over. So Victoria runs the school, and I'm the international director. And
so you've got a school
and a
medical clinic in Africa.
We got 100 orphans we take care of.
You got 100 orphans.
Many that are HIV positive.
You've got your business with 40 employees.
Yes.
And you're in the General Assembly.
Yes.
How's your plate?
You know what? Here's the thing. I believe that you're obligated to maximize the gifts that God's given you.
Yeah.
And I think if God gives you enough to handle three things, you do it.
Yeah.
And it's about serving other people. And I found that I've succeeded in business because I've focused on serving other people. And so I experienced a lot of God's favor, you know, in the midst of all this because I'm focused on helping other people.
You know, I saw an interview the other day, yesterday, with you talking about Africa, and that can potentially be a real dynamo of economic growth, can't it?
It can, and we've missed out. And this is where I'm excited about going to Congress, because we spend a lot of money in these countries, and we don't spend it the right way.
Right.
The Chinese have invested in infrastructure and roads in Kenya, and now they have duty-free status into the country. All right. And now they flooded their goods into the country. We could have done that. We could have stepped up and say, "Listen, we're going to help you build the roads," and we would have provided the technology. Now we have the ability to we have the opportunity to help them with baseload power, coal-fired baseload power plants. And if we
could use Southern Illinois coal.
Uses Southern Illinois coal. It's a win-win for us, because they don't have enough coal there to fuel those plants. We do. We could provide the technology and building those, and then provide the coal at the same time, and bring them up a level to where that country can succeed, and then that's the way you fight terrorism. You don't let those terrorists
success.
Right. That's how you fight it. You don't fight it after they've invaded your country.
Right.
And so from Somalia, they've come in. This is the way that we should have helped them in the past, and hopefully we go forward by helping them electrify that country.
How can Congress do that? I mean, how does that? Well, what would be the step to get that done?
This has already happened. In fact, it was voted on to help Africa with power, and our representative voted against it. And now that the president stepped up and said that he's going to spend so many billion to help electrify Africa, it's a good initiative.
Well, it's a great initiative. I mean, you can see what it did to the United States with the TVA.
Oh, it's
just think about what right. what would have happened in the United States if they hadn't had the TVA.
Well, and that's how
in the southern U.S.
That's how you create a good ally too.
Right.
And I mean, this is I never thought that there would be an attachment, you know, a connection there between what I've been able to do in Kenya and the opportunities I would have in Congress.
And you didn't intend for there to
never,
be one.
Never. It just happens that I do know a lot about electrifying Africa.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah.
How do you go about getting the medical supplies? I mean, do you take donations or how does
we
that
do?
Work?
We do. We've got a few churches. We've got a few individuals. Our family is just. I mean, this. We do more with. $450,000 a year than anybody can imagine.
Well, that's
and
amazing.
So, but it's just a lot of folks that have worked hard. They volunteer, come there in the summer. Serve in the clinic as dentists and doctors. We have an actually nurse living there now here from St. Jacob, Illinois. She and her husband live there. But we've got a staff. We've got a staff of about 40 people there.
Folks want to know more about Kyle McCarter. What do they need?
They go to Kyle McCarter, votemccarter.com. They go to votemccarter.com. We'd love to them to sign up for our emails, get involved in the campaign. We're going to win this on the ground. I'm confident we're going to win it because people are ready for a change. But we're going to win it not with big money and not with big special interest endorsements, but we're going to win it with the endorsement of the people. The people of the 15th district deserve this victory.
I got to tell you, you're a ball of fire. How about that? Does that make sense?
Hey, it's you know what? I appreciate you having me on. It's a great day.
Glad to do it. Thanks very much. Nice to meet you.
All right.
That's Bruce Dickey's show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.